Okay, Glenn, I'm just going to introduce you. Hello, everyone. Good evening. It's a beautiful evening in April, and this evening we have the honor of listening to Glenn Tobey. Glenn Tobey is going to speak tonight, continuing his series on listening to the whispers. And this series focuses on developing internal and external aspects of personal and customized leadership. And tonight the topic is Whispers of the Middle of the Heart. And Glenn Tobey is a fabulous person, just overall in so many ways, with a beautiful heart, a beautiful voice, a great storyteller, and a powerful healer. He's a Qigong master, a certified instructor. He is a licensed clinical social worker, and he has many other degrees and diplomas to his name that I can't mention all of them here. So I'd like you to all welcome Glenn Tobey. Glenn, the call is yours.
Thank you so much, Jackie. Equally back to you. I was talking with you, Jackie, and others before we started this about Jackie now has the honor of holding space for all of us and using her baton to orchestrate, you know, our thoughts and our words and our heartstrings and all those beautiful things. So she also is a wonderful Qigong master and healer. So in my mind, this is the second in this series I had in my mind about the whisper. And the story for me comes from this long time ago when I started working with street kids and the trouble that they had. And so the phrase that had come to mind back then that I heard from someone is, if you don't want to listen to their screams, you need to listen to their whispers. So the idea evolved for me over the years about the idea of a scream versus a whisper. And in different ways, the scream for me is kind of what draws my attention, you know, easily. And then really, the whisper part is actually what is the message, you know, within. And so in the practice groups that I run, oftentimes I will tell them a kind of a little story about, you know, if you see a rhinoceros coming at you, you know, I want you to do three things. You know, one is to smile. You know, put a smile on your face that helps create that endorphin flow, that beautiful feeling inside your body. And then the second thing is to take three slow, gentle, deep breaths. You know, anger and anxiety is fed by that shortness of breath. So when the rhinoceros is charging at you, you lower the breath so there's no anxiety. And then focus your attention on the lower dantian. Have as much energy inside you in order to face that rhinoceros. And then someone who runs a wildlife refuge told me about rhinoceroses. And she said, you know, actually rhinoceroses, you know, they don't have any front teeth. So if you had a handful of hay and stuck your hand out and a rhinoceros came up to you, they would engulf like your whole front part of the arm in their soft mouth and gently suck that hay out of your hand in such a like a loving, gentle way. And so that gave me such a beautiful image, actually, about screams and whispers. Here in my mind, this ferocious beast, this rhinoceros with a horn on its head, you know, charging toward me, the screams of this wild beast, you know, what actually behind that scream is this loving and gentle creature. So always then it gets to be, how can I look for this loving, gentle creature in all things that I seem to have fear and resistance to? So then as we move that kind of thinking, the idea about screams and whispers, into the form of leaders, leadership, and the practice group leaders, the ways in which you all, you know, in the form that you have to lead others, is kind of then saying, what really is the purpose for you in your leadership? You know, how do you wish to teach people, you know, to lead people? A Are you so filled with, you know, excitement for Shikan? Everybody has to learn this. Everybody has to learn this right now. We got to get going. We got to get rolling. Or is it like more like I'm going to go around, I'm going to spread these seeds, I'm going to see what happens, I'm going to... So actually you design, you know, kind of your leadership style as you're running groups or as you're talking in the community, you know, about Spring Forest Shikan. Seeing what, you know, style that you have and the way that you do things. So in your practice groups, it's also saying, you know, what are their screams? But really, what are their whispers? What in their hearts are they really needing from you that you as a leader can maybe help provide? So we're a part of an organization called Spring Forest Shikan. You know, we're practice group leaders or have some form of leadership. I remember talking with someone maybe in the late 1990s who said he had this conversation with Master Lin, and I share this story semi-secondhand, but it has a beautiful point to it about Master Lin. So he had asked Master Lin, "Master Lin, could you teach me how to be a Taoist master?" And he said to me that Master Lin thought for a bit and said, "You know, I don't think I have learned well enough to teach you to be a Taoist master without leaving my footprint in you." You know, the thought being, the more and more that this person learned from Master Lin and kept feeling or thinking, "Oh, Master Lin did this for me, he taught me this, he did this, he taught me that," then it would defeat the purpose of kind of that, the Taoist view, that it's about your own self-discovery. It's about finding the guidance from within. It's about, you know, connecting with other teachers, connecting with a master, but finding a way that this discovery of your own leadership is really within you rather than following kind of a strong leader. So there's this expression that goes somewhat like this. When a student is looking for a teacher, the teacher appears. I think it's been said in many different ways and sometimes in funny ways. If a student is looking for a cup of coffee appears. You know, the intent of the statement, of course, is when the student is aware of what he or she is looking for, then they'll find what they're looking for either in the form of a coffee cup or in the form of a teacher. So what were you looking for as a student when you connected with Master Lin or when Master Lin appeared? There's a purpose inside you that got you drawn to the teaching of Master Lin. You know, it's not the master that goes looking for students. It is always the student looking for the master. You know, the master is always ready to teach and responds to the level of where the student is. So the master, the teacher, is always ready to teach you. Our task as students is to always be ready, you know, to learn what the master wants to teach us and in what form. So again, the master's task, the teacher's task is to teach. That person is always ready to do that. And then as students, are we always ready to hear the different ways that this master is teaching us? So as I said about the story of Master Lin and the Taoist master, not wanting to leave a footprint inside us. I think Master Lin really has that way of teaching all of us, not wanting us to become little puppets or little robots or little look-alike, you know, teachers. That he teaches us in a way, if we're willing to hear at many different levels of who we're supposed to be as leaders, as teachers. Not as the robot, not that we're all the same, that the normal thing is to become like everyone else. That he teaches us to come back to our own nature. So Master Lin has not recruited students. And I don't believe he's ever asked any of us really to be leaders. That was our choice, to be both student and leader. Master Lin, a number of years ago, had showed some of us some Chinese characters, and the character translated meant to the middle of your heart. And this was the character for loyalty. So this idea of loyalty both to the master, student to the master, but the master to the student, that we're not following Master Lin blindly, that he's some demagogue or some authoritarian or some all-powerful healer, that no matter what, we're just going to do whatever he says. But his teaching is always directed as a master to the middle of your heart, to the middle of my heart. He's always looking out for your heart. He's always looking out for my heart. And I have loyalty back to Master Lin because of that, that he's not leading me to see how brilliant he may be. He's not leading me to see how powerful he may be, how important he may be. None of his actions take me to that. I choose Master Lin as my master, by my teacher, because his teachings are always focused on my heart, in developing my heart and my spiritual growth. And if not, in a way, I would need to find another teacher. So the ownership of your own leadership and your own leadership development really is about your own self-discovery. Master Lin talks so much and so beautifully about connecting with the master's energy, whether it's with Master Lin's energy or another master of a higher or equal or some higher energy level than your own or my own. And connecting to that energy, connecting to that source, he will always say, is to know that you have a guided life, and to joining into that energy so that you feel that guided life in you. And it goes along then with this idea of having a purpose. What is your purpose as a teacher or as a leader? Because you have a guided life, then you have a purpose. So the two interplay with each other. This feeling of being guided so that I don't feel alone as a leader, and this sense of having a purpose where the energies inside me line up in order to give me that impetus, that momentum, that focus to do what this particular person, you, me, has to do in being their unique, special, individual, significant teacher. So finding and sensing that guided life isn't something Master Lin tells us as if you walk into his office and say, could you describe to me what my guided life is? And he says, he probably would say, you'd smile and laugh, you know, his laughter, and then say, yes, Glenn, meditate deeper. You will find that. Meditate. Oh, yeah, meditate. Go deep within yourself. Hear your inner voice. But he will not tell you, because that's his style, about your own self-discovery, for your own choices, learning from how your life unfolds. And then with all of that, you will always be tested. Are you ready to go to that next level? So the masters, who have also been tested, both Master Lin and the other masters, are you ready to go to this higher level of energy? Is your own level of energy at a point where you can live at that higher level of energy? And then to do that is to really listen inside you, to hear the challenges that you may have that may hinder you moving into that higher level of energy, or where the testing is, and you say, well, I think I'm not ready for this, which is fine. But you'll always be challenged in this level of energy. This is the part of your training of a leader, especially for Master Lin. Never to push, never to demand, always focus on your own self-discovery, your own sense of choice and well-being. So all of us have come into Spring Forest Chikung with a history of different things, perhaps different organizations, certainly different expectations. Perhaps we've come from kind of a corporate world where the organization is more hierarchical. You know, there's goals and objectives and there's measurements. There's a director and a sub-director and a sub-director and an associate director and staff, all those kinds of forms of ways that leaders or teachers are taught, or the kind of the expectation of how they're taken care of. So when you come into this organization, perhaps with the expectation that those in positions higher than yourself will take care of you and teach you how to become a leader, really is a challenge for yourself, because the focus actually is on what? Your own self-discovery. What is it that I need that I can provide in one sense for myself, or discover how to learn more about this area within myself? So I see my own leadership then from a higher point. All throughout your whole life, when you've come into Spring Forest Chikung as an organization, you have chosen people all along the way to teach you, whether it was a Girl Scout leader, whether it was a minister, you know, whatever those people are, you've all chosen them in one sense, you know, to be your teacher. So when you were looking for the Girl Scouts, or when you were looking for a church, when you're looking for, then a Girl Scout leader came, or a church came, or whatever it was, all of them came because you had looked for them. And you left them because perhaps they no longer suited what you were looking for. So what is Master Lin's great plan or vision for a global organization? You know, a few weeks or so ago, he and Deborah and the four Tibetan monks were out in Las Vegas in the Grand Canyon. And they did a half-hour meditation on chanting on Thursday and Friday, and then an hour meditation chanting on Saturday in the Grand Canyon. And over 10,000 people, you know, clicked in, tuned in to each one of those presentations, meditations, chantings. 10,000 people. What a global organization he has. And then Deborah posted a teaching of Master Lin maybe a week ago. And then within 5 days, there were 2 million contacts. 2 million people connecting to the teaching of Master Lin. So I wonder what his global organization is. You know, there's an organizational form of practice group leaders and certified instructors and other kinds of forms. Actually, his global organization really is about spiritual growth. So what is Master Lin's whispers about what he is teaching you about yourself as a leader? When you have discouragements, when you have disagreements, when you have this feeling of discontent, when you have these frustrations, this impatience, when you may want the organization to be and act as you want it to be, when this form of your own acidic acid, the acidic energy of complaining, of being judgmental, of fostering self-serving thoughts and activities, and it is done out loud and visibly. What is that about in the development of your leadership? Remember Master Lin's vision, a healer in every home, and a world without pain and suffering. And if you are involved in the things I just mentioned about discouragement and complaining and judgmentalness, you know, regarding the organization, this acidic acid, this acidic energy is your pain and suffering. And how is your pain and suffering to be alleviated? So this negative energy, spoken out loud, or to others, or even just held within, hurts you. Finding the way to come back into yourself, to alleviate your pain and suffering, to join into Master Lin's global organization of having a beautiful spiritual growth. And also in criticizing the Master, that hurts the Master who has such loyalty to teach you into the middle of your heart. So in my mind, I have this image of an inner monastery, you know, finding a way that daily I try to go about, you know, in a practice, in the movements, in a meditative state, as I interface with this outside world of mine. It's probably as chaotic as you see in your world as well. But knowing that I want to have this inner monastery so I don't return to the same energy level I had before, being discouraged or discontented or being critical, complaining, or being involved or absorbed by my own self-serving thoughts, my own self-serving activities. And then for me, my inner monastery then helps me lead my guided life. I'm here for a purpose, and needing to find that purpose in order to connect with others. So Master Lin always is teaching you, and he continues to nourish you through his teaching. You know, so hopefully, you know, as many of you as possible, you have subscribed to the Healing Connection so that once a week you hear his teaching, not how brilliant he is, not great stories that he has, but the teachings that are deliberately directed to the middle of your heart, to your spiritual growth, whether it's a simple student, so to speak, a practitioner, or toward your leadership development. He teaches at those levels. Joining the guild, as you have now, to hear this call. You know, you get monthly phone calls, quarterly meditations, and then there's a host of other, you know, forms that Master Lin spreads out now on Facebook with all those delightful, impressive, practical, powerful, and little segments of healing techniques. So wonderful. So what are the whispers to your practitioners about teaching them Master Lin's focus on a spiritual life? As you, being a leader, something that moves them deeper than just the movements and just the meditations. How are you deepening your own voice of leadership so that it comes from the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, from the fourth dimension of love, from the fifth dimension of light, from the sixth dimension frequency and message, information? This is so beautiful. Or do you find yourself kind of looping back to the first and second and third levels and not penetrating? So my complaining and my discontent, now I'm living in that level of 1, 2, and 3. And if I keep looping back and looping back and looping back and never learning how to penetrate, to move beyond that, into that fourth dimension, that higher energy, and kind of I will always begin to loop back, loop back, loop back. Master Lin gave this little tale that if you wish to be a teacher and give your students a cup of water, then you need to have a gallon for your own. Always finding a way on your inner journey when the challenges arise you, coming back to your inner monastery, coming back to your gallon of water, the gallon of depth inside you, so that when the students ask you, you're giving them the whispers of your life from a higher point, from the fourth dimension, from the fifth dimension, from the sixth dimension, that you're leading from this territory rather than leading from the first the second, the third dimension. You know, the territory of critical and discontent, doubt, fear, anger, frustration. Moving yourself into leading and living in that fourth and fifth and sixth dimension. So that you have a loyalty to your students, to their hearts, to the middle of their hearts, that all you care about is teaching them to the middle of their hearts, to the level of which they can hear, they can listen, and they can grow in their spiritual life and their spiritual growth. So there's a story I read in a book a very long time ago. It was written by Lauren Isley, who was an archaeologist and a poet. And in the story he writes in this one book is that he, as an archaeologist, was climbing down into a limestone kind of a cliff or a place in the earth where there was more like a V. So the further down he climbed, you know, into this small kind of cliff with sandstone ridges on both sides, the further down he got, he would look at the lines of limestone and almost count, you know, here's 1,000 years and here's another 1,000 years. And, you know, the further down he went, he realized he was, you know, going back in time, so to speak. And then he saw this skeleton of a creature, you know, and he said, wow, here's this skeleton of a creature, you know, and all this thousands of years, layers of limestone above him. You know, and then he gave me this really beautiful, you know, kind of interpretation. And he said, I wonder what part that this creature did not understand that laid ahead for him. So I've taken this image of this creature, you know, just there with so much things beyond him that he did not understand. And so when I find myself over the years, you know, kind of puzzled or maybe kind of arrogant even, I say, I wonder what it is that I'm a part of that I do not understand. And that leads me, for me, into my inner monastery to hear my inner voice even more and more. What am I a part of that I do not understand? So in my discontent, in my frustration, in my criticalness, all those kinds of acidic energies, what is it that I'm a part of in myself that I do not understand, but have now trapped me? And also this story then teaches me what limitations I have put upon myself, you know, what walls around myself where I do not penetrate and then just live contained, so to speak. You know, what levels of consciousness do I say I don't want to penetrate any further? And then I begin to limit my own growth as a leader. So finding the way, you know, kind of to penetrate the levels, to penetrate those limitations, to penetrate those walls you have constructed around you, to penetrate the consciousness that you seem to have that perhaps not inviting growth with that. So this idea of how to move between that first, second, and third level into the fourth level is really beautiful. So how many of you have had like an aha moment? You know, you might be working on a project or thinking about some things or things such as that, and all of a sudden you go, oh, aha, now I understand it. So between that aha and before that, the kind of thinking about it, between the thinking about it and the aha is the void. It is that place of no distraction where there's that clarity of transformation from the confused mind, the project stuff, into the clarity of mind that brings you aha. It's getting into that void between the confused mind and the aha mind. The transforming place is so beautiful. So another image is, you know, getting ready for bed, you put your pajamas on and, you know, you go to the bathroom, you do your stuff there and maybe brush your teeth and take a drink, a little sip of water or whatever your rituals are. And you go to the bed and you lay down and your mind starts saying, okay, I'm going to sleep now. I'm going to sleep now. I'm going to sleep. So right between when the mind stops thinking of going to sleep and that first snore is that void. There's no distraction. So finding a way to meditate or do the movements or in your leadership, this is the perfect place to place that question. What is it that I'm a part of that I do not understand? Where is it that I need to grow? And where is that love? Where can I find that love to love myself and to love others? The more and more I stay in that, you know, getting ready for bed thing, you know, that preparation is that level one and two and three, the first, second, and third dimension. Always thinking, always preparing, always getting ready. But it's that void in between, is that fourth movement, that higher level of energy of love moves you then into that light and into that frequency, into that higher message. What is it I'm a part of, masters, that I need to learn about myself? So moving yourself in the void, both in healing and in your leadership, to come out on that other side and the higher dimension is so beautiful, so powerful. So with what I have said, I would be curious if there is a question perhaps, or a comment, or a thought that you would like to add over the next couple of minutes. And if there's not, I will pause or ask Jackie if someone has either written in something or perhaps someone is about to write something in. I would encourage any thoughts or questions you might have. Otherwise, I will shortly move into what I have in my heart for kind of a meditative practice to follow up with the words I have shared with you.
Okay, Glenn, I have one comment. It's not a question necessarily. It's from Charlene, New York. And she says, hi, Jackie and Glenn. And there's a smile. And the universe is sending you a baton, Jackie. So it's a comment and a hello from Charlene. Hello, Charlene.
So I hope you've picked up that baton, Jackie.
Up here we have another one. Here's another one from Liz, Clearwater, Minnesota. Thank you, Glenn. Just thank you.
Good.
Oh, let me see. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so that is it for now. Let me refresh one more time. That is it, Glenn.
Okay. So I would like us to move into a little bit more of a focused meditation mindset. And I would like to lead us through one of the movements. I want to talk with you about this moving into the void. So if you wish to stand for a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or sit, that's just fine. And then we'll move into more of a kind of a meditation where you can sit still or do whatever you wish to do. So if you're standing, you know, your legs are as wide as your shoulders for balance. The soles of your feet are connecting with the floor, with the earth. Dropping your shoulders to the floor, releasing any tension or fear that your shoulders hold. Slowing your breath down. Remember the anxiety, the anger, loves to have someone breathing fast. So slowing the breath down does not allow the anger and the anxiety to have much fuel. Opening the fingers, letting the energy flow. Quieting the mind. Quieting the mind to a place where you're just noticing. Your mind just notices, just observes. and then using Master Lin's password, I am in the universe. The universe is in me. And I and the universe are one. And then when you feel comfortable, bring that right hand to the upper part of the torso, the palm faces the body, fingers are open. The left palm is on, over the lower dantian, fingers are open, palm facing the body. Both hands about 6 inches away. Knees are bent a little bit. Slowing your breath down. And then when you are ready, you know, drop that right hand down, move that left hand up, moving those hands, those arms in that elliptical circle. So there's a little bend. So the hand that comes up is closer to the body. The hand that goes down is further away. Letting the elbows guide the hands so there's no tension in the hands. Perhaps allows the feel of the energy, the tingle of the energy in the hands to be more visible, so to speak. Letting your mind focus inside your body. Just notice inside your body. Just observe. Perhaps you're noticing a column of light along your spine. Perhaps you're noticing a tingle of energy somewhere in the body. Perhaps you're observing when your mind isn't thinking of a color, red or yellow or purple. You just observe it. You don't think about it. You don't analyze it. You just observe it and stay with that observation. And then remember that the high energy emotion for this movement is happiness. So see if you can move beyond the word of happiness into the energy of happiness. Feel that energy. So just by saying, I am happy, so you don't rate it, you don't evaluate it, you don't fix a percentage to it. You just say, I'm happy. And when you do that, you move into that fourth dimension, into the fifth dimension. So for the next minute, just feel that energy of happiness. The mind is just noticing, just observing what's happening in the body. The breath and the movement of the arms. You're not thinking about it, you're just doing it automatically. Connecting with that high, beautiful energy of happiness into that void, into that transformation. And then whenever you do the rest of the movements, see if you can find a way to use them as well. Move yourself into that void, into that transformation. So when you begin to wonder, what part of things, what is it that I can face? What is it that I can do? To move yourself into this higher energy with that light, with that message. And then as you will, you may sit down. If you want to sit down to do the remainder of this meditation, keeping your mind in a meditative place, or laying down the floor if you wish, or just continue standing, whatever you wish, keeping your mind, just noticing, just observing, slow, gentle, deep breaths, bringing your focus to your lower dantian. Seeing that beautiful ball of light. And remember when you, where your mind goes, the energy goes. So just like with these high energy emotions, with your focus on your lower dantian, just say, All the channels in my body are open. Don't rate it. Don't evaluate it. Don't fix the percentage of channels that are open. You just say, all the channels in my body are open. And then bring your focus to the top of your head and see a beautiful ball of light, the light of happiness on the top of your head. And then scan your body. Bring that happiness, that energy of happiness down through the top of the head, through the body. And then just find where happiness already lives in your body. And perhaps where it needs to find more of a home in your body. Take about 30 seconds or so to gently scan your body. Through the chest, through the hips. Where does happiness already live? And perhaps where does it need to live? Down to the bottoms of the feet. And then bring your focus back to the top of the head. And there you find joy. And see that energy of joy also as you scan your body down. Through that filter of joy, that energy of joy, find in your body where joy already lives. And maybe where joy needs to live more. Moving that joy through your body. Finding where it already lives and where it needs to live. And then bringing your focus back to the top of your head, where you find the high energy of peacefulness waiting for you. And again, scan your body down, using that beautiful high energy of peacefulness. And as it moves from top to bottom in your body, find where that peacefulness already lives in your body. And maybe where peacefulness needs to live more. And then gently bring your focus back to the top of your head, finding contentment and satisfaction waiting. A beautiful high energy that you begin to scan your body with it, finding where contentment, satisfaction already live in your body, in your heart. And finding perhaps where contentment, where satisfaction needs to live more. And then one more time, bringing your focus to the top of your head and finding thankfulness and gratitude there. A beautiful, powerful energy of thankfulness and gratitude. To live in that energy means that fear can't take root. So bring that thankfulness energy, that gratitude energy down, scanning your body, finding where it already lives in you and perhaps where it needs to find more of a home. And then as you feel inside your body that happiness and that joy and that peacefulness, that contentment and satisfaction, that thankfulness and that gratitude, you find yourself loving yourself back to who you are, to your original nature. Just feeling so beautiful inside you. And as you do this, you find this connection to your masters. You join into that energy. and remembering that all of these masters, Master Lin, Buddha, Kuan Yin, anyone you can mention, have all had pain and suffering like you. They have all had challenges like you. They've all had doubts, of course, like you. But all of these masters have found the connection to this unconditional love and have been able then to rise above the doubt and the pain and the suffering, to live in that beautiful level of energy of unconditional love, wishing nothing more than to share that with you, so you too can have that spiritual life of living in that unconditional love. So find a way to join in with these masters who are always available for you in that inner monastery of yours, having the masters now live inside you as well, so that there's no separation between the master's energy and yours. And you find this incredibly beautiful light of love, this beautiful spiritual life inside you, that you're living with this unconditional love toward yourself. And then you find, as a teacher, as a leader now, you have nothing but unconditional love to bring to the middle of the hearts of your practitioners and students. And with that, you love them back to who they are, so they too can find that spiritual life, the connection to unconditional love. And you find now in your heart just this warmth, this beautiful warmth, this loving warmth. It's astonishing how to live in those high dimensions. And from that place, you greet the world. You love the world, as you all love each other, as I love you. And then bringing yourself, your focus back to your lower dantian, this beautiful ball of light. See that light get smaller and smaller, but brighter and brighter. Smaller and brighter until it's the tiny pill, but so bright, and tucking that beneath the navel. Then taking three slow, gentle, deep breaths. Gently rubbing your hands together, that heart energy. Massaging the face from the tips of your fingers up the bridge of the nose to the forehead, out to the cheeks, and then down to the chin, doing that a few times. Moving those fingers in that heart shape fashion. Then gently massaging your ears from top to bottom. And then staying where you are as long as you would like. Just staying in that beautiful love, that unconditional love of the universe, knowing how much that universe loves you, how much you love others, and how much I love you. So now go out and love the world as best as you can, and always remember to love yourself deeply. Thanks for listening. Good night.